Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What's going down?
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of What's Going Down here on Patreon with no ads or on the main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you doing today?
Kenny, I'm doing well. Yes, not bad. How about yourself?
Good, I'm doing very well. I'm going away for a few days on a music cruise, so I'm excited about that. And I think you're going away as well. So we're both feeling festive. You know, the out of office will be on soon.
That's it, the out of office.
we've never really had to deal with, thankfully, but
what is the out of office? Well, that does apply, so
we're here to talk about the draft and the people who have went where. I mean, I've got to say, Finn, overall the draft kind of a bit of a dud in comparison to previous drafts. I would say maybe 80% of people are staying in the same place, if not more. Obviously, the champions were not eligible.
Eligible, yeah, they were protected.
So I thought what we could do that might be easier is just we'll go through the draft picks first, and then just kind of go through anything.
Well, why don't we just talk about the ones that matter? Because, I mean, you're right. The whole thing was a nothing burger of the. I mean, not even quarter pounder, just a gigantic nothing burger. Forget quarter pounder, it was much bigger than that. And, I mean, I didn't mind it, but it's like, yeah, I think we were expecting more from it. And the thing is, now that the championships are all brand neutral, they could have moved them. You know, you could have moved Cody Rhodes, or you could have moved Damian Priest, or you could have moved Becky Lynch. You could have done these things, and it wouldn't have been awkward like it has been previously.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, it was the whole thing was just it was underwhelming. I think
people, yeah,
especially because in the Paul Levesque era, you know, there've been a lot of exciting things happening. So what I'll do is for night one, I'll read out all the SmackDown picks and then we'll talk about them. Then the Raw picks, we'll talk about them. Same for night two. So night one was SmackDown. So here's who SmackDown got, most of which are already on SmackDown. So SmackDown over the course of Friday got Bianca Belair, Carmelo Hayes, Randy Orton, Nia Jax, LA Knight, The Bloodline, AJ Styles, and Andrade. That was on the show. So the only person there who's actually changed, the only two that have changed are Nia Jax and Andrade. Now, Nia Jax is a pretty good pick, I think, to move over.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But there is the end of the interesting parts of this.
Well, exactly. I mean, Nia Jax, she made a bit of a statement, didn't she? You know, later on the show when she beat down Bayley.
Yeah, so she, you know, she made her presence known. She's going to be on the show. There was also a supplemental thing on social media, and on that we had the OC to SmackDown, which I think they were on already with AJ Styles, but just not together.
Yeah.
Cedric Alexander and Ashante the Adonis, who, were they in NXT or were they on Raw?
Well, they did do that little video, didn't they, where they were trying on outfits, and we thought, wow, they're going to do something with these guys finally. And it went nowhere. It was just, that was it. Yeah. I never saw anything from them again on TV. And poor Cedric Alexander, he had an appearance, didn't he, on TV? And he was annihilated by Bron Breakker.
Well, I wondered if, like, if maybe they'd been on NXT, because I don't really watch NXT. And I thought maybe
they'd been on. No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I'm up to date on my NXT, and if they've done anything there, it's been blink and you'll miss it territory. So no, they've done nothing that I'm aware of.
Also, and then the last one is Baron Corbin is moving from NXT to SmackDown, and there seems to be higher hopes for Corbin this time than there has been at any other point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that was connected to his tag team with Bron Breakker. And, you know, he did some really good stuff last year, working with lots of younger performers and really giving them the benefit of his experience. I thought it was very, very generous in NXT. I mean, the last year has been the highlight of his career, hands down. And you can make a snide comment about that, but he did some really good stuff, particularly with Breakker. And I think he definitely mitigated the worst aspects of certain performers, and had Breakker not been on the other side of the ring, I think there would have been some real flops last year. So, I mean, he, I think, really helped a lot of people in many different ways. So, I mean, I'm hoping he's going to get a chance on the main roster. It is a shame that Bron Breakker and Corbin were not brought up, were not transferred to Raw or SmackDown in the draft as a team, because they were kind of like an odd couple partnership, and I think they would have done well. But obviously, they got much bigger plans for Bron Breakker as a singles guy, so it was not to be. But we'll see, Kenny. I mean, I don't have high hopes for Baron Corbin on the main roster. I mean, he could do well. Just don't change what you were doing with him in NXT. Just do that on the main roster, and he might make waves. Might.
And then on the Raw side for night one, Raw had the services of Jey Uso, Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, Liv Morgan, Ricochet, Sheamus, Alpha Academy, and Kiana James. So really, Bron Breakker is the only one that's a kind of big name that's moved to Raw from SmackDown. Everybody else, apart from Kiana James, was on NXT, right?
Yeah.
So she's moved up. But, you know, I mean, if you're someone, I think there's a lot of people who don't watch NXT, right? Who just maybe don't have time to watch it or whatever. So with Kiana James, hopefully, whatever they're going to do with her, they put the machine behind her and give us some kind of, who is she? What's her story? And Breakker will be fine. But I mean, the rest of them, you're talking, how many picks is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 picks, 6 of which we're already on Raw. So, and then on the supplemental draft later on, Shayna Baszler to Raw, she's there already. Zoe Stark to Raw, she's there already. Ivar, Raw, he's there already. But Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, they move from SmackDown to Raw. So what did you make of the Raw picks?
Well, I mean, it's not exciting, is it? I mean, again, you know, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, we've talked a lot about those two ever since they were beaten by Rousey and Shayna Baszler last year. They've done almost nothing. And I don't know, I don't understand why, because this women's tag team division is desperately need some high caliber teams. And I hope these two can still go, and I hope they receive a chance. But I've said this before, nothing ever happens. So, I mean, Kiana James, I thought, was a really good talent in NXT. She's got a strong personality. She knows what she's doing in the ring. She looks like a star. It's all really about whether or not the crowd responds to her as a star, and the company doesn't lose interest after 2 or 3 weeks if the audience are not responding to her. I mean, it was clearly, all the NXT call-ups, you could see it was, they were deeply moved, weren't they? I mean, it must have been a surprise to them. Either that or the, Blair Davenport, Lyra Valkyria. These women are amazing. These are Academy Award winning actresses because they were so moved by it, weren't they? They were in tears. They were just like, wow, So, but yeah, I think Kiana James is going to do all right if the company will get behind her and give her a chance.
Well, so I guess at this point, let's talk about SmackDown as a show. Obviously, they did have Cody and Carmelo Hayes in the main event of the show, which again, kind of just a nothing match, which they did. They had they did have the Cody Rhodes AJ Styles contract signing, for the match at Backlash. How did you feel about how they treated the Cody AJ feud? Which obviously, they have to try and get some heat behind that for the pay-per-view or the PLE, and also the match with Carmelo in the main event.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I mean, it was a very civilized affair, surprisingly so, between Cody and AJ Styles. I mean, Styles was very complimentary towards Cody. He said that he respected him, unlike LA Knight. I mean, there was even a handshake at the end. They kind of put each other over. So it almost felt like a babyface versus babyface thing. And at the end, after Cody Rhodes had beaten Carmelo Hayes, AJ Styles appeared in the ring and no blows were thrown. I mean, I thought for sure there's going to be a big scuffle here between these two to end the show, and there wasn't. It was just this showdown, this stare down between them. I mean, Styles said that Cody was going to lose the title at Backlash. Of course, Styles was going to say that. He was either going to say what we know is going to happen, and that is that Cody's going to retain the belt. It would be rather pointless even having a confrontation if Styles were to tell us what we know is going to happen. So I don't think there was really that much heat behind it. And, this match is really, it's going to succeed based upon it being in France, and I think there'll be a real atmosphere for it because it's the first premium live event there. So I think the fans will be really into the match, even though there isn't a big story behind this, and these two aren't at each other's throats yet. I think it will succeed on the merit of where it's being held, and also based on how talented these two veterans are. So I think on the night it will work. But if it wasn't a backlash in France, I think Cody versus Styles would struggle as a premium live event main event.
Yeah, it's just not. It doesn't feel it, it. It feels like it's more of a kind of exhibition title match.
Yeah, it just feels like a TV match, doesn't it? It's not really been promoted. And the thing is, how were they going to promote it? I mean, coming off Cody versus Roman Reigns, there was bound to be a massive drop-off. Nothing could equal that because years had gone into that match. 2 years had gone into that match, and you could argue decades if you take it back to Dusty versus Superstar Graham. So nothing was going to be able to follow Cody versus Roman Reigns, and it's like they're not really trying. And in some ways, they don't have to, because as I said, I think this event will succeed based upon where it is, because that audience, I would think, is going to be really hot because, you know, there's never been a premium live event before in France. I mean, as far as Cody Rhodes versus Carmelo Hayes goes, I thought it was a good match. There was actually, apart from one little point just before the end where there appeared to be a communication breakdown and they just sort of paused, bent over in the ring, and Cody was clearly telling Hayes what they were going to do next, which was not something you would expect from a Cody Rhodes match. And after Rhodes had won, Cody had a conversation with Carmelo in the ring, and I almost sensed that he was scolding him for, like, losing his way before the finish. I mean, some people complained about this and said that Carmelo, it was his first official night on SmackDown, so he shouldn't have been beaten. But he was against Cody Rhodes. So I think the fact that he was in there with the top guy in the company, I think counteracted any sort of, you know, diminishing of his worth because he lost, because he was in there against the top guy. I mean, the only thing, as I said, that really disappointed me about this was just that little moment before the end there where it was like they didn't know what they were going to do next. And, you know, I think Hayes is a talented guy, but I mean, at times you watch him and you think, is he really a complete wrestler? And he had that cage match with Trick Williams. And I know there's been a lot of complaints about Trick not being a complete wrestler either. And I think that's fair. But Hayes and Trick Williams had the match in the cage a couple of weeks ago on NXT. And they were so off in that match. I could not believe how poor that match was between two guys that had, you know, worked together as firstly as partners and then as enemies and had the big match at Stand and Deliver. And they had the cage match, and it should have been so much better than it was. So I think Hayes is going to have to, I think he's still got quite a bit to prove, Kenny, you know, on the main roster. I mean, I realize he's only just arrived, but he has had matches previously on the main roster, and he's a guy who's received rave reviews for his work in NXT dating back to Tour 2021, it would be. So, yeah, I think, you know, he needs to maybe cut down on the flash in the ring and maybe just work on, you know, just making his matches more solid in the ring.
Yeah, I would agree. And then the other, I guess the other big takeaway from SmackDown itself was we had more bloodline shenanigans with Kevin Owens, obviously, you know, looking to avenge what happened to him. And then later on, Randy Orton coming out to sort of clear the bloodline, which sets up this Randy Orton, Kevin Owens match against the bloodline at Backlash. What did you make of the follow-up to, you know, last week's, you know, pretty epic beatdown of Owens and the introduction of Orton into the situation?
Well, I mean, we predicted last week that Orton would be the one to save Owens from Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, and that happened here. I mean, Roman Reigns was not in the draft. We should mention this.
He withdrew himself from the draft. Paul Heyman announced that he was not going to be returning in the near future, so he has withdrawn himself from the draft.
Yes. So Paul Heyman is instead with Solo and Tama Tonga. So he still doesn't really know what's going on. You can see that Solo's keeping him in the dark on various matters of where this is all going. I mean, yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, there was another Kevin Owens beatdown and Randy Orton came out to make the save. And I think it's logical that this would then lead to a tag team match at Backlash. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see where the story goes. I mean, this is a long-term thing and it's very early days yet. So, I mean, Solo and Tama Tonga, they need the win here at Backlash, you know, to establish themselves as credibility. And, you know, we need to see Solo as the top guy within a few months, which he isn't yet. And I think a win at Backlash will be very helpful towards that end of Solo and Tama Tonga being, you know, top guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, what do you make of it, Kenny?
Yeah, I think it was a decent enough follow up. I think they could have done more to have, like, I think Orton's introduction into it could have been more epic than it was. But at the same time, it was still good. I just think you could have built the crescendo a little bit. I would have maybe had this be the thing at the end and have, you know, Owens look really in peril even more than he was, and have that be when Orton comes out. But I mean, that's a minor thing. It was still decent.
I mean, the problem they had on SmackDown was that they had to do so much on the show with the draft and the matches and the, you know, the final push for Backlash. So they'd set themselves a very difficult task, I feel.
Yeah, they had. And yeah, for sure. Well, I'm ready to move on to Raw, unless there's anything else from SmackDown you wanted to bring up before I move on.
Probably the only thing that we kind of alluded to earlier was Nia Jax made an appearance at ringside during the Bayley was watching the Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi match. Bayley was at ringside and Nia Jax suddenly appeared and beat down Bayley. And that then led to, you know, the non-finish in the match between Naomi and Stratton. And then that then also led to the announcement that it would be a triple threat match at Backlash between Stratton, Naomi and Bayley for the title. So that was probably the, I wouldn't say the biggest thing on the show, but I think it was consequential. Yeah. And, you know, be interesting to see if Nia Jax is involved in the match in a Backlash this weekend. Will she get involved in some fashion? Possibly.
Yeah, because she's got until... Yeah, she's... everything with the draft as well fully takes effect on Monday, May the 6th. So things get to wrap up. They're allowed to do it till then. Let's move on to the draft picks for night two on Raw. So here is who Raw ended up with. So Raw ended up with Imperium, which is Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser. Damage Control, all four members, Io Sky, Asuka, Kairi Sane, Dakota Kai. CM Punk, Braun Strowman, the LWO, Drew McIntyre, The Judgment Day, Ilya Dragunov, The New Day, Lyra Valkyra, The Final Testament, good God, and Big Bronson Reed. So Raw actually ended up with, I mean, compared to Friday, a new roster, because on Friday practically nothing changed, but they got Damage Control, they got Braun Strowman, they got the LWO, including Rey Mysterio. They got Ilya Dragunov and Lyra Valkyra from NXT. They got the Final Testament, which, you know, can't win them all. But how do you think the Raw picks went?
I mean, this was definitely more eventful than the draft picks on SmackDown. I think everyone would agree with that. I mean, I was interested to see Damage Control turn up on Raw, and then they had like a little confrontation with Becky Lynch backstage. So maybe it's going to be Io Sky versus Becky Lynch at some point. I imagine it will be. It's Kabuki Warriors are defending their women's tag team belts for the final time this Saturday at Backlash. I mean, is there any chance at all that Asuka and Kairi Sane are going to retain against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, Kenny? Any chance at all?
I would say the chances are zero. I wouldn't even give it a you know, sometimes you want to give, like, you want to do a wee long shot prediction because you think, well, maybe no chance.
Yeah.
How about you?
No chance. So yeah, it's Kabuki Warriors last night as champs at Backlash on Saturday. So, but they'll be on Raw after that. So who knows what they're going to do. But I mean, you know, great to see Ilya Dragunov called up, and it was time. He'd outgrown NXT. He dropped the belt last week to Trick Williams. That actually was a really good match, unlike the Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes cage match of the 7 days earlier. I mean, Ilya's, you know, such a talent. I mean, a can't miss talent. I don't know what he's going to do. Presumably something with Gunther, although who knows? Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, we've seen that before. I mean, a mass audience hasn't yet, but that would be a great way to get Ilya over in, like, a, you know, dynamic premium live event match with Ilya. So I'm really pleased to see him receive the call up. I mean, Lyra, I mean, I've said before that I don't fancy her chances on the main roster, and I really don't. Maybe she'll have to do the heel turn on Becky. Maybe that'll be a big shot, but I just don't think she's got a strong enough personality for the main roster. I hope I'm wrong about that one, Kenny. But I think overall, I think it was far more interesting than what we saw on Friday.
Yeah, because you know, there's you've got Braun Strowman back, so we'll see what he ends up doing. You've got Rey Mysterio with the LWO. You've got, you know, Damage Control. There's enough people, and obviously some of the big players like Punk and Drew stayed there. Let's see how SmackDown did. SmackDown got Jade Cargill, Kevin Owens, The Pride, which is Lashley, Street Profits, and B-Fab, Tiffany Stratton, Legado del Fantasma, Shinsuke Nakamura, Naomi, Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, Pretty Deadly, Candice and Indy, DIY, and Blair Davenport. It kind of feels like SmackDown didn't really do as well out of this as Raw.
No, I would agree with that. I think most people would agree with that. And lots of them just haven't moved.
85% of these picks are the same, the same brand. And I guess the thing is, when you do, if you're going to build up a draft, people expect there's going to be, you know, say at least a third of stuff's going to change. And, you know, I think we thought a while ago that Gunther was going to go to SmackDown, but he's not. You know, Kevin Owens, what's left for him to do on SmackDown after? I mean, he's in this Bloodline thing, but I mean, we know he's kind of getting fed to them.
Yeah.
You fed him at Backlash and then moved him. But
absolutely. I mean, had Owens been drafted to Raw, he could have done something with Sami Zayn. And yeah, okay, we've seen that before. But, you know, there's always mileage in that. Those two work very well together as partners and as enemies. And you're right, what's left for him after Backlash? Because Sokoa and Tonga have to win. And presumably Owens will be the one who does the job, because I can't imagine it's going to be Randy Orton. So, yeah, you do wonder what Owens is going to do the week after that, unless it's then a feud with Randy Orton, which is a possibility, I guess. We have, you know, suggested that that might be the destination for Owens, Owens versus Orton. So, I mean, maybe that'll be interesting. It probably will be if it happens. But yeah, I mean, Pretty Deadly haven't done anything for a while, and they were already on SmackDown anyway. Shinsuke Nakamura, I mean, what's left for him? There isn't anything left for him on the main roster at this point, I don't think.
I did see someone say on Twitter that, you know, it's so impressive that Shinsuke Nakamura entered one blinding performance in 2016 and has lived off mediocrity ever since. Which,
yeah. Yeah, here we are, 8 years later to the month. And it's just like, I mean, why was he drafted? I mean, he should have been supplemental draft territory. There's loads of people in WWE who've got more to offer than he has at this point in his career. So, I mean, I was pleased to see DIY go with Candice and Indy. And I'm hoping that DIY do the heel turn and they reform the way, or, you know, faction. I think there's mileage in that. But yeah, very little has changed about SmackDown. Very little indeed.
Just to add in the supplemental draft picks, because I forgot to do them. So SmackDown, the supplemental, got Apollo Crews, Giovanni Vinci, Tegan Knox. That's their picks. And Raw got Natalia, Caden Carter and Katana Chance, Odyssey Jones, Dijak, the Creeds and Ivy Nile, and the New Catch Republic. So,
well, at least the Creeds are on the same brand as Chad Gable, because I was thinking, oh, you know, this is, you know, we talked about this last week. It's going to be over the last few weeks, actually. It's going to be Chad and the Creeds as this dynamic heel outfit. And I'm still hoping that that's going to occur. I mean, Dijak, don't sell that guy short. Don't sell that guy short. He has done really well for himself in NXT. He has totally reinvented himself as this new character who is so reliable in the ring. I realize NXT is a smaller company and it's a different environment on the main roster. But I mean, this guy's got something to offer the main roster. And he's had so many good matches. You know, he's been so consistent on NXT. And this guy wants it, Kenny. This guy really wants it. So, you know, let's just see if WWE gives it to him on the main roster. I hope they do, because he is, you know, he's a guy that was just, you know, given nothing. This is T-Bar, right, Kenny?
Yeah,
it was over.
I actually saw his match at Stand and Deliver that he had against, Oh, I can't remember the guy's name because obviously I don't really watch it. But
Yeah, Ober Femi and was it Josh Briggs, I think it
yeah, the
was.
triple threat. Yeah, and
Yeah.
I saw that match and I thought Dijak did really well in that. I thought that he was definitely the person who kind of was getting the other two guys, Femi and Briggs, over. Like he was the kind of glue holding it all together. So yeah, I think give the guy something. Let him run. Give him the ball. See if he runs with it a little bit and see how it goes. So.
Yeah.
In terms of the Raw show itself, obviously the big stuff was to do with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. CM Punk was there. And obviously, Drew McIntyre was very upset that CM Punk had been drafted before him and was, I mean, whiny Drew is just such a great character. He really is. And
Yeah.
he bl blamed the APA, who were the ones who read out the pick that he'd been involved in. And sort of said, congratulated CM Punk for hurting him. Said he had an elbow brace and said, I fractured my elbow when CM Punk tripped me. And then Punk's music played, but Punk is in the one of the boxes. I'm not sitting at home, Drew. I'm right here, you little bitch. So then Drew tries to go find him, and then of course later on, CM Punk comes out, and McIntyre's at the box. Punk's just, goading Drew. And the stuff with Punk and Drew was excellent on Raw. I thought it really, amongst a pretty underwhelming double draft extravaganza, I thought the Punk and Drew stuff was really top tier.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this was in the week as well, or within a 7-day period, that Drew had finally signed his new contract with WWE, and he's making probably more money than he ever thought he would in wrestling. And he still managed to look miffed. He still managed to look upset. How is that possible when you're making low 7 figures? So yeah, I mean, CM Punk was drafted to Raw in round 2 of the draft, and then Drew was drafted to Raw in round 3 of the draft. And as you said, it was the APA who did round 3. And Drew said, "What have you been drinking since Friday?" He said it was stupid that he was drafted in the third round after CM Punk. And then CM Punk appeared in the Skybox and insulted Drew. This was after Drew had started ranting about CM Punk. And then Drew went to the Skybox. In the process, he passed Sheamus and Bron Breakker, who were having a conversation backstage. That was a nice little touch there. I actually noticed that Bron Breakker, when he was being interviewed, sounded heelish. I know the character at times did come across as a heel, even when he was a face, but he did come across as a bit of a heel, Bron Breakker, backstage. Then Sheamus had a conversation with him, and Breakker did lighten up a bit. Drew then turned up at the Skybox. CM Punk wasn't there, and then Punk's music played again, and he went to the ring and he said, "I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to return to the ring. I'm going to make your life a living hell, Drew." So just again, just promoting this match, which we think possibly could take place at SummerSlam.
Seems
Hard to believe that it would be a Clash at the Castle, but
I mean, selfishly, as someone who's going to be there, it would be great if Drew won the title and then Punk came out at the end.
yes, yeah. I hope that's exactly what happens, because that should be Drew's night. He should win the belt there, for putting Roman over at Clash at the Castle in Cardiff, and then only holding the belt for, what was it, five, whatever it was, fewer than 6 minutes, wasn't it? At WrestleMania. He deserves his reward for everything that he has contributed to WWE over the last 18 months or longer, and he deserves that big win in Glasgow. And yeah, that would be the perfect way to bring down the curtain on Clash at the Castle. Drew as champ, CM Punk coming out, big square off. What we can't wait to see what they do next. We can't wait for Raw on Monday. I'm sure that's the way it's going to play out.
So as we kind of wind down, what were the other things on Raw that stuck out to you that were worth a mention, on this kind of weird, sort of weird time where we don't properly have people on brands, we're wrapping some people up, we're starting new things. What were the things that stuck out to you?
I mean, Gunter versus Xavier Woods, we've seen these matches before, but Gunter looked great and Xavier Woods took a hell of a beating and Gunter won by tap out. So I thought that was pretty good. There was a Sami Zayn Bronson Reed match that ended when Chad Gable attacked Zayn. But then
which
Reed
seems like it's setting up the triple threat, right? Maybe a backlash.
Yeah, I don't know, because we've already got triple threat, haven't we, between Stratton and Bayley and Naomi, and they haven't announced it yet, have they? An IC title defense there?
No, not yet.
So it seems a bit late because it's only this Saturday, isn't it? Backlash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe they could add it last minute. I'm not sure. But yeah, Gable, you know, interrupted that match. I think earlier on the show, Gable had given the Alpha Academy a dressing down. I was half thinking that they might break up the Alpha Academy in the draft, but they didn't. They're all still together. Gable, Maxine, Tozawa, and Otis. So, you know, Gable's still berating them for not winning, and they're still standing there taking it. What else was on the show? Candice LeRae beat Maxine Dupri. I guess that wasn't really that exciting. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio had a confrontation backstage. That was pretty good. And Rey Mysterio mocked Dominic Mysterio's moustache, which is the latest addition to his ridiculous look. I mean, you know, Dominic, you do wonder what comments are made to him in everyday life going around looking like that, don't you?
And he's just the success story of the decade. I mean, a guy who, when he first came in, you could never have predicted this would be really what spot he's in.
He's just sending himself up, isn't it? He's just like, I am there. I am here for people to, I'm here. I'm the heat machine. I'm the guy that you're supposed to boo, and I'm the guy that the faces can mock. So that was pretty funny. And Ray and Dom back on the same brand. I still feel like we're going to get that Ray Dom mask versus hair match. I still feel like we're going to get that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with you. I mean, it's funny because I was thinking earlier about Dominic, because I was watching Raw today. And one of the things that I love about him is that, see, because he never has to win a match or never has to be the hard man at any point, he can kind of just set himself up, you know, like you say, for anything. And you're in that spot. But also, he's not a job guy. I mean, the fact that he was rumoured to be the guy who was going to face Brock Lesnar at Elimination Chamber, you know, a Brock match before when those happened, they didn't just go to anybody.
They went to people who
mattered. So that was a real kind of sign that they saw Dom as a person of importance. And I think if they want to roll, now that Ray and Dom are going to be in the same brand, I think you could roll that back again, add some layers to it. Don't have Carlito involved in it, preferably.
Oh, we forgot to mention that massive plot development, Kenny.
The heel turn.
Carlito was exposed as the man who would attack Dragon Lee.
We had the CCTV footage, just like when Shawn Michaels knew that Triple H had attacked him in 2002. But only imagine that with a lot less importance, intensity, and heat.
Yeah. So, Carlito was exposed as the villain, and then he attacked Rey and Dragon Lee and did a runner, hopefully out the door, never to return to WWE.
There you go. Well, listen, that is all the time we've got for today. We are recording a Power Slam podcast today, so that'll be out on Thursday. So if anything happens tomorrow onwards, we are not held responsible. And then we'll be back next Tuesday with the usual cavalcade of loads of stuff going on in wrestling. So we will, and Backlash. Well, no, we won't be back on Tuesday. We'll be back on Monday, actually, won't we? Because Backlash is on Saturday. We always try and do the Monday. So we'll get together and see if we can figure out being here on Monday for what's going down so we can talk about Backlash.
Penny, we'll be here on Monday to talk about Backlash. I guarantee it.
We will do that. So yeah, thank you for all your support, everybody. We really appreciate it. It does not go unnoticed, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.